We want to take a closer look now at that study from Children's Hospital Boston that concluded that states with more gun laws have fewer gun deaths. Now, critics of gun control, gun laws, have often said laws don't work. So let's bring in the lead researcher on this study to find out what he's concluded. Dr. Eric Fliegler is a pediatrician at Children's Hospital Boston. Dr. Fliegler, welcome.
Thank you very much.
And you have been quoted as responding to those critics of gun laws who say that the laws don't work by saying that your research indicates the opposite. Give us your sense. What is your conclusion?
So the major finding of our study was that in states that have the most firearm legislation, there is a significant reduction in firearm fatalities compared to those states that have the least legislation. So what we found was that in states that have the most laws, there's a 42% reduction in fatalities compared to those states with the least number of laws.
But can you make the direct correlation between more laws and fewer deaths?
The question you're getting at is, you know, is this cause and effect? Can we prove that one thing necessarily leads to the other? The nature of our study is a cross-sectional study. We looked at data over a four-year period from 2007 to 2010. We looked at how many people died in each of these states by firearms and how many laws they have. What the study allows us to say is that there's definitely, in those states that have the most laws, there are the fewest deaths. You can't necessarily say that one absolutely led to the other, which then raises the question, well, why would it make a difference? One of the things that we looked at was what happens in terms of firearm ownership, which would be a logical kind of step along the pathway. And when you look at the household firearm ownership rate, you say that, oh, those states that also have the fewest number of firearms that are owned at the household level are the same states that have the lowest death rates. And the opposite is true. Those states that have the highest firearm ownership rates are the same states that have the highest rates of firearm fatalities. We can't prove that one thing leads to the next, but we can say that those things are related.
Well, but wait a minute. Could you also say that it's possible that the states that had the most laws, least deaths, and lower ownership might be states where there's not a gun culture? For instance, Louisiana had a huge rate of deaths and a low rate of laws, as opposed to Massachusetts, which has a lot of laws and fewer deaths. But Massachusetts doesn't have as much of a gun culture, so it might not be the laws that are leading to people having fewer guns.
It is absolutely possible that there is a culture that says we have a lot of guns, we don't want to have legislation, and we also have a lot of violence, and that the opposite may be true, that there are states that don't own a lot of guns, they're okay with passing legislation, they have lower rates of firearm deaths. It comes to the key question, which is, how are we going to study this and how are we going to understand this? One of the major challenges that's existed over the last 15 years is that basically all avenues of federal funding, either the CDC or the NIH, had been cut off from studying firearm fatalities. And what our research kind of, I think, points to a key thing, which is that we need better data and we need the ability to understand what are the ways that we can reduce deaths.
We should underscore that by saying that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention did have a research program. It was defunded after pressure and lobbying from the gun industry. President Obama has pledged to bring that research back. What are some of the questions that you think now need to be asked?
How are we going to reduce fatalities? What you need to understand are the numbers. You know, I'm a pediatric emergency medicine doctor. If there are 10 children who die from a toy or some sort of injury, there is an incredible hue and cry, and we make sure that we stop those types of deaths. And here on the other side, you have 31,000 people who die every single year from firearms. That is a number of deaths on virtually an unprecedented level, and nothing is being done to understand this or reduce it. We need to study it. How are we going to study it? We need better data. We need to know data on a better geographic level. We need to know where deaths are occurring. The data that's available is only at the state level. It just speaks to the restrictions and their effects over time, that we don't know what is happening at the city level, and we don't know the impact. We need to know what are the influences that are leading to higher or lower rates of death, and we need to be able to try interventions to reduce these deaths. So during the 4 years of our study, over 121,000 people have died. You know, one of the questions that comes up, well, is, you know, who are these people? One of the things you'll see is that teenagers are really strongly affected by this. Nearly 10,000 of those 121,000 deaths were teenagers. They were 15 to 19-year-olds.
Well, and I mentioned that question because there was the Boston Globe quotes a Georgetown University study that found that mandating background checks for gun purchases was linked to reducing suicide rates in people over the age of 55, but had nothing to do with reducing murder rates or suicide rates in younger people. So, you know, it sounds like you're saying that kind of detail
One of the key things about that particular study was they were looking at this federal law to see how it affected suicides and homicides. But one of the important things to understand about that particular set of laws is it has enormous loopholes. That particular law, the Brady background check law, did not require universal background checks. So in other words, the loopholes such as going to gun shows in many states where there are no laws at all that prohibit purchase of guns, that people can do this without background checks if the purchase are not made through a registered dealer. And some of the laws that can make a difference are laws that make this truly universal background check that can keep the guns out of the hands of people that have been determined are not eligible to purchase them, such as people with criminal backgrounds.
Yeah, whereas somebody who's older, who's maybe going to make a terrible spontaneous decision to take their life, might go to a gun store and have to do a background check, and so that law might deter them.
The suicide rate was also significantly reduced in states that have more firearm laws. Of this 31,000 people, it turns out that 60% of them are firearm-related suicides. And one of the criticisms that you'll hear is that, well, if people want to kill themselves, you know, they're going to be able to do it no matter what, so we should ignore those particular deaths, which is a tragedy. When you're talking about 17,000, 18,000 people a year dying by firearms and suicides, that's not something that should be ignored. What we know from other studies is that if you reach that desperate moment in your life where you are despondent and you can see no way out, and you attempt to take your life with a firearm, you are going to succeed 85% of the time. However, if a firearm is not available or you use some other mechanism such as pills, the chance of dying is actually closer to 2%. And what we know is when you follow those people over time, the people who did not die, the vast majority of them do not go on to kill themselves. And the question is, well, why is that? Well, in that desperate moment when you think about taking your life and you attempt with pills, you have that opportunity to have regret, to make a phone call, to go to the hospital. However, if in that desperate moment you use a firearm, you are going to succeed and you're not going to have a second chance.
That's Dr. Eric Fliegler, pediatrician at Boston's Children's Hospital and lead researcher on a new study that concluded that states with the strictest firearm laws had the lowest rates of gun deaths. By the way, Doctor, we understand you undertook this study after the Trayvon Martin shooting.
That's correct. The group of researchers I'm working with, we had just completed a study looking at the role of booster seat legislation and its effect on motor vehicle collision deaths among kids 4 to 7. And we showed that after state booster seat legislation was passed, there was a dramatic decrease in deaths. Well, around that time, Trayvon Martin was shot, and we wondered, well, what's the role of legislation in firearm fatalities? And that's what led us to do this research.
Dr. Fliegler, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay. A colleague once proclaimed viola. He meant voila, but the viola is now getting attention because of Kim Kashkashian, not Kardashian, a masterclass with this master musician in 1 minute, here and now.